Are you ready to talk a little bit more about the band and the album?
Sure. I'm always ready to talk about that.
Okay, well, can you tell us, how did the band get together? You guys formed in 2008, which is fairly recent.
Yeah, we actually, I'm assuming that you know something about the history of the band.
Well, yeah. I mean, you were before Wicked Witch, right?
Yep.
And then now you switch to this. Why did you guys decide to change the name?
Well, a couple reasons. First of all, there was another band down in Florida that started using the name Wicked Witch.
Oh, okay.
And as soon as they caught wind of this project, they sent us a this letter.
Oh.
It was okay because we weren't really that keen on using Wicked Witch anymore anyway.
Oh, okay.
So we it took us months and months to settle on a name that everybody liked, and we liked the word. There were certain words that we had been sticking around that we liked a lot, machine being one of them. And one afternoon, I was over at Barnes and Noble, just looking at book titles, trying to come up with some kind of inspiration, and I found a book called Mechanical Grace. And I mentioned it to Jeff and Zach and Chris, and we played around with it for a little while and finally came up with Grace. And it, I mean, we went through probably thousands of names to come up with that one. But when we landed on that, we thought that it fit the music pretty well and represented what we were doing pretty well, and kind of went with it.
So you went all the way to type it in Google and then saying, okay, there's 2 million bands like that. No, not a good idea. And keep going.
As far as the other names that we...
Yeah.
A lot of them were stupid. But yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time on the website at the U.S. Trademark Office and stuff. And we would get on there if we thought that we could found something cool and punch it in. And if it was taken, obviously we had to abandon it. But yeah, it was really hard. Now you got me thinking about how hard it was coming up with a name that, I mean, with Google you could punch in anything and there's probably a band using that name.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I got this from another band that they told me that's the way they found their name, just by typing random stuff to Google.
Yeah. I remember there was actually some like band name generator websites, and those come up with anything good.
So the last project was pretty much you guys only made a demo and that was it. Why didn't you ever imagine that to register the name?
I don't know. It never dawned on us, I guess.
Huh. So with Machines of Grace that you retook the old project, what was new that you felt that you wanted to bring it back at this point?
Well, we had always, Jeff and I had kept in touch constantly over the years, and there had been many, many conversations that we had where we were like, it would be pretty cool to go back and revisit the material that we were doing with Wicked Witch, because it was good. We always thought that it was strong material. And as Jeff and Zach built a name for themselves and gained some notoriety, we kind of felt like the timing was good, and we all had some time in our schedules to work on it. And it had been something that we had always wanted to do, and it kind of came together recently.
So what was the decision of why releasing, I mean, self-releasing an album instead of, you know, just making a demo and shopping it around like most bands do?
There were a bunch of things that came into play in that decision. Mainly the state of the recording industry was one big factor, because with iTunes and all the other forms of digital music out there, there aren't a lot of labels willing to sink a bunch of money into the band any longer.
Yeah.
They're all kind of going out of business. Secondly, we wanted to be able to retain control over our touring schedule. We kind of had to have a lot of control over that simply because
Jeff has the
schedule with CSO and Zach has the schedule with Circle to Circle, and we all have jobs, and you know, we're not 20 years old. And it's not like it used to be where we could just pile in a van and go ride around the country for 2 years. So there were a lot of different reasons. Financial concerns were in place, and don't get me wrong, if the right deal was to be presented to us, we'd all be really excited about it. But so we took this approach for a lot of different reasons, and so far it's worked out pretty well.
Are you guys? But you're still shopping around with this album now, right? For label?
We are. Yep.
And it never came into play that, I mean, a few of the members had previews. I mean, they gained different status from playing in other bands. You guys never thought of approaching that, I mean, exploding that?
Oh, believe me, we have.
And, I mean, yeah, I mean, since all the other members are so busy, how much of a full-time deal is this?
Well, we released the CD in July, and at first there was some talk about us going out and doing a bunch of dates with Metal Church, but then Metal Church disbanded, so that fell through, and we were looking for something that we could get on, some kind of a tour with another established act that would allow us to get out and play and get the band in front of as many people as we possibly could. The only thing that we had kind of a limited time frame to work within, because Jeff started his CSO rehearsal in October. So we only had a couple of months, and the only thing that we were able to put together was going out and doing dates with Striper, which we did, and that was a fantastic opportunity, and it was really well received. But our original plan was, after Jeff got done with his winter tour in January and February, we would get back out and do something on a much larger scale. At the time that we were making those plans, we didn't really know that ESO was going to be doing a spring tour, which they are doing, and so we kind of had to put our plans on the back burner a little bit while Jeff goes out and does that, because obviously that's his main priority. So he will be wrapping that up around the end of May, and we've got June through the end of September to get out there and play, and that's what we're working on now.
Okay, so you are planning a touring to support this album?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit later than originally planned, but yeah, when the right opportunity comes along, we'll definitely jump on it.
And how do you have seen the response that you gotten from the press? You gotten pretty good reviews, I think.
Yeah, so far, certainly can't complain. I mean, this is most of the music was written almost 20 years ago. So for us to have any kind of positive response, personally makes me really happy. But yeah, some of the reviews have been fantastic.
And you guys signed on with a new PR agency, so you're kind of putting it back into track now that you're going to have those months off, right?
Well, we've been working with Hipster PR
you tell us more a little bit of, about the music? I mean, since, yeah, you said you wrote it 20 years ago, can you go into more detail of I mean, I can't... did you guys change any of the lyrics or any of that stuff, or you just pretty much went with it?
No, we changed... We actually changed quite a bit. I mean, the outlines of the songs are all pretty much the same. The skeleton of the music is all pretty much the same. Zach changed a bunch of lyrics because what he was singing about 20 years ago wasn't really... it didn't really make sense today. So there were a few songs. There's a bunch of stuff on the album that is really close to what it was when we wrote it originally. But I changed a lot of instrumentation. I added a bunch of acoustic guitar, which didn't exist originally. And, you know, we wanted to take the music what it was 20 years ago and bring it into today as much as we could. The last thing I wanted was for someone to listen to it and go, wow, this sounds 20 years old. I can't believe they just did this. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That was going to be one of my questions. So how do you think that, I mean, would you think that releasing it now would have a different impact that it would have had 20 years ago?
I think if we had all the same resources available to us 20 years ago that we have available to us today, if we could have afforded to record a 14-song album 20 years ago, and if we had shopped that, we probably would have had very good success. And back then, there were plenty of labels, and metal was kind of the flavor of the week. And I think it probably would have done really well. But we had limited resources. If studio time was much more expensive then, and it wasn't really an option. But yeah, I think if we had done this then, it would have been great.
And now that you guys see what all the problems, like you point out, with the labels and stuff, how do you feel that how hard it is to get an actual deal this time?
Well, as long as I've been in this industry, it's always been hard.
But I mean, how is the less labels and more technology, everybody can record, making it harder, I guess, or different?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just heard a couple weeks ago that I think iTunes celebrated their 10 billionth download.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, that's taken a huge amount of money out of traditional record labels. So, I don't know. I mean, even with Jeff and Zach involved in this band, it's been difficult for us to land any kind of a real record deal. So, I think in some ways, all the digital technology today is great because it gives artists like us a way to get our music out to the public without having to use a label.
Yeah.
And in that process, we get to make a lot more money because we are the record label. You know, we put up the money for the recording. We put up basically a turnkey operation where we paid for everything, just like a record company would have done. And we are our own distributor through all the digital networks, and we've got a bunch of independently owned record stores that are selling it
Yeah, so I mean, so you're kind of saying that you've been able to make more profit now than you would have maybe before if you would have self-released it.
I think so, yeah. I mean, for a band, when they sign with a record company, you're lucky to make maybe a dollar per unit that gets sold. But the advantage there is the label is doing everything for you, and they're handling distribution and tour support and marketing and advertising and all of that, and pretty much all you have to do is play.
Yeah.
And they get you in all the stores, and distribution is on a much larger scale. Everything's on a larger scale. But by doing it the way that we're doing it, everything's on a smaller scale, but the profit margin is bigger per unit that you sell.
And when you compare digital versus physical sales and sales. Which ones for you? In your case, it's more profitable. I mean, not profitable, but bigger.
Digital.
And
we've been selling a lot of physical CDs as well, but digital's pretty big, and it's even bigger if we figure in all the illegal downloading that goes on, because even with Machines of Grace, which is a like in comparison to a Metallica, we're like a grain of sand on the beach. But even for us, illegal downloading has been a big problem. So I can't even imagine how much money is at stake when you're talking about, you know, a real band like Metallica or Bon Jovi or somebody like that.
And if you guys had any say, what would you think would be a way to stop the whole illegal downloading?
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, the internet is so big, and there's so many different ways of sharing files. I don't see that happening ever, unless they can figure out some way to encrypt those files.
And well, I mean, you guys, since you haven't been touring, you haven't had the fan that actually bootlegged your album, but actually showed up because of that. So you still, haven't seen both sides, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's almost like recorded music is almost like a business card that you just give to people, and you make it up on the other end through touring and merchandise sales. I mean, yeah, you can illegally download a song, but you can't illegally download a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or a physical CD.
Yeah, or the concert experience.
Yeah.
So, where do you see the band going in a few years? What are the other members' expectations for the band?
Well, I think, put it this way, none of us have any unrealistic expectations about what we can do with this. This is basically four guys who are all good friends, have a long history together, and genuinely enjoy playing with each other. So we hope to be able to do another CD and maybe a couple more. And if we can get out and play, you know, a couple months out of each year, do some touring in the States and maybe get over to Europe or some of the other countries, that would make us all extremely happy, I think.
And do you guys think that you guys' timing was pretty good, thinking that now a lot of the older bands that play similar styles have been coming out, doing reunions, putting out albums? Was that kind of a coincidence, or was it kind of planned?
I don't think that we really thought about that at all, to be honest with you. We just like I said, Jeff and I had a bunch of conversations about doing this over the years. Going back even as long as 10 or 15 years ago, we were discussing this. And it's just, I don't know, for some reason this time it happened.
Okay, so now what about you? I read that you have another band, but you playing progressive metal, and you guys are back together according to you guys' MySpace. Is that gonna happen again too?
Are you talking about Trigger Effect?
Yeah.
Possibly. That's actually an old MySpace page.
Oh.
I think it's a couple years old. But yeah, maybe once or twice a year. We'll shop that around a little bit. That was a really great band, and we had come pretty close to landing a deal a few different times. We went out and we toured with Iron Maiden. But again, we all keep in touch, and actually Chris, the bass player in Machines of Grace,
yeah.
So we talk about that all the time. I don't think there's really any reunion on the table, but we would love to do something again if the situation presented itself. I do play in another band, or I'm working on another band called Healthbeat, which is the singer from Trigger Effect and I, and that stuff is, I really hope that we're able to get that recorded and completed, because it's about as far away from Machines of Grace as you can get.
Oh.
it's really modern, it's really heavy, it's fast, it's furious, and difficult to play, and I'd say it's heavily influenced by some of the Euro metal bands. It's cool. So hopefully sometime this year that'll get done.
Oh, that sounds good. Is there anything else you want to add for people waiting for Machines of Grace to be taken on the stage?
I would say thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving us a listen, and I'm just extremely happy anytime I hear that somebody is digging the album, and yeah, come out and see us live. If you like what you hear on the disc, you'll really dig the band live. The band is tight, and we have a great time playing together, and I think that comes off to the audience when we're playing live. So thank you to anybody that's listening.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the interview, and good luck